said. That's exactly what he told me, actually.
Oh, Clay said. Well, that's good, isn't it? Did he say when you'll get your powers?
Starflight fidgeted with the scroll, shredding a corner of it between his claws. Clay had never seen him upset enough to damage a scroll without noticing. He wished he could say something helpful, but he couldn't think of a single useful thing to say about Nightwings.
At least you're not a Rainwing, he tried.
Did Maruseer say anything about glory? Starflight frowned at him over the edge of the rock. Not much. He said, don't worry about the Rainwing. I'll take care of it. Clay felt a cold chill climb up through the stone floor and spread through his scales. What does that mean? What's he going to do?
How should I know?
Starflight poked his nose back into the scroll. Maybe she'll get to go home. She's probably the luckiest of all of us. The pulse of fear pounding in Clay's head disagreed. He couldn't see the Guardians just releasing glory, not after all the years of secrecy.
We have to go spy on them, he said, jumping to his feet. We have to know what they're planning.
He stopped halfway out of the cave and stamped one foot in frustration.
Oh no, we can't. Maruseer will know we're there.
Right, Starflight said. He'll hear you thinking all your big, loud, worried thoughts.
You don't know that my thoughts are loud and worried, Clay said. Maybe they're quiet and very serene.
Starflight snorted with amusement, the first happy sound he'd made since Maruseer showed up. Even through his worry, Clay was pleased.
What are you doing?
Sunny's anxious voice echoed across the main hall.
What's that for?
The heavy tread of dragon footsteps reached their ears, along with an ominous clanking.
Stop! Wait! You don't have to do that!
There was an enormous splash. Clay raced into the big cave with Starflight close behind him. He skidded to a halt, horrified. Kestrel and Dune were standing on the bank of the river, holding a length of iron chain between their talons. Behind them, Maruseer was holding Sunny back with his tail as the tiny golden dragon tried to climb over him. Webs emerged from the river, dragging a writhing, hissing ball of blue scales. Kestrel and Dune threw the chain around Tsunami's neck and wrapped it around one of her legs. The three guardians hauled her over to one of the rock columns that stretched from the floor to the ceiling high above. Dune flung the chain around the column twice, binding Tsunami with barely three steps to move in any direction. Kestrel took two ends of chain and blasted them with a bolt of flame. The metal melted into a bubbling mass, welded together. Tsunami was trapped.
Maybe some time away from the river will teach you to be grateful for what you have, Kestrel growled.
It all happened so fast. Clay didn't have time to figure out what was happening, let alone stop it before it was too late. He let out a yell of dismay and charged across the cavern.
Let her go!
He grabbed the chain and let go at once, hissing with pain at the searing heat.
You'll regret this, Tsunami snarled.
She clawed at the chain around her back leg, but pulling on it tightened the loop around her neck. With a hiss, she stopped struggling.
When we are free, when my family hears about this, when the rest of the world finds out how you treated the Dragonettes of Destiny.
All your big dreams of your wonderful family, Kestrel mocked her. They don't care about you. When it's time to fulfill the prophecy, you'll be alive, and the Talons of Peace will have you, and that's all that matters.
Why are you doing this?
Sunny cried.
Tsunami's the good one. She's wonderful. If anyone can save the world, it's her.
Actually, Tiny Sandwing, Maruseer rumbled. The dragonette you should believe in is Starflight over there.
He nodded at Starflight, still rooted in place by the sleeping cave. Starflight ducked his head.
Nightwings are natural leaders. You do what he says, and you'll be all right.
Clay glanced over at Starflight and saw Glory standing in the archway of her own sleeping cave. Maruseer narrowed his eyes at her.
I'll be back tomorrow, he said to the Guardians, to make sure that everything has been... dealt with.
We understand, Kestrel said. Together, she and Dune rolled the boulder aside. Maru's ear squeezed through the gap and disappeared into the blackness without a backward glance.
This is for your own good,
Webb said, stopping in front of Tsunami. She raked her talons at him, and he stepped back.
We only want to keep you safe. Maybe this isn't the perfect way, but...
The Dragonettes don't know what's best for them,
Dune said as the boulder thudded back into place.
You need us, whether you like it or not.
You were all awful today, Kestrel said. No dinner for any of you. Go to bed. And I don't want to hear a squawk out of anyone until morning.
Really? What else are you going to do to me? Tsunami challenged her. What if I feel like singing all night? She started howling in her off-key voice. Oh, the Dragonettes are coming. They're coming to save the day. They're coming to fight, for they know what's right. The Dragonettes, hooray!
Your fault,
Dune snarled at Webbs.
I told you not to teach them that horrible bar song.
Oh, the Dragonettes are coming, Tsunami bellowed even louder.
We have more chains, Kestrel yelled in her ear. We could throw one around your snout if you would like me to force you to be quiet.
Tsunami paused, glaring at her mutinously, then took another breath in and opened her mouth.
Or we could chain up one of your friends, Kestrel offered.
Perhaps Clay would like to spend the night hanging from a stalactite so you have some company out here. Clay shifted uneasily on his feet, wondering if there was anywhere he could hide out of Kestrel's reach before she could grab him. Tsunami snapped her jaws shut and lay down with her head turned away from all the dragons. Her gills fluttered furiously, but she kept quiet.
Much better, Kestrel said.
She stomped off to her tunnel, her red scales flaring brightly in the fire's reflection. Webbs followed her with his wet tail leaving a darker trail behind them. Sunny pounced on Dune's tail before he could go after them.
Please don't leave her like this, she said. I know you're not that mean.
Dune shook her off.
We are doing what we have to.
He went after the others. As soon as they were gone, Clay tried tugging on Tsunami's chains again. They were hopelessly strong.
Clay, stop. Tsunami whispered. You know what you have to do. Go quickly.
Clay shivered, dreading the cold water. But she was right. For the first time, spying on the Guardians was really important. He ran over to the river and dove in. Through the water, he could hear the muffled echo of Sunny's nervous squeak as he swam against the current to the rock wall. Without Tsunami's glow-in-the-dark scales to guide him, it took longer than usual to find the gap that led through to the other cave. But finally he felt open space under his claws, and he ducked and squeezed through. His heart was hammering in his chest as he popped through into the cave. Slowly, he paddled to the surface and poked his ears out into the air. This wasn't the loud confrontation they'd heard the previous night. This time, the three big dragons were huddled around the fire, whispering. None of them glanced at the river as Clay floated closer.
When tomorrow? Webbs asked.
Kestrel leaned toward the fire, baking her scales an even brighter red.
He'll be back by midday. It has to be done by then.
Her tail was coiled in a tight knot beside her.
He doesn't want to see her again.
Clay clenched his talons under the water. They had to be talking about glory.
Well, I'm not doing it,
Webb said. Dune shot him a withering look.
No one thought you would. Even though this is all your fault, said Kestrel. I still think we need five of them, Webb snapped. What's he going to do about that?
He'll find us a Skywing, Kestrel said. Properly this time, no colorful substitutions. They all went quiet for a moment, staring into the fire.
So? How and when? Dune said in his no-nonsense military voice. Drowning would be simplest. He glared at Webbs.
I join the Talons of Peace to stop killing dragons, Webbs said. I won't argue with Maruseer, but I'm not doing it myself.
It has to be me,
Kestrel said in a choked, tense voice.
She's just a Rainwing, but she still might get away from you.
She nodded at Dune's missing foot and the long scar that ran through his mangled wing.
But can you go through with it? Webbs asked. Isn't it too much like... I mean, we all know what happened.
That was totally different, Kestrel snapped. Glory is just a Rainwing. I don't care about her. I don't even like her.
She blasted a ball of flames at the fire so it blazed up.
If you're sure, Webb started.
I'll do it tonight while she's sleeping, Kestrel said. I can get in there and break her neck before the others know what I'm doing, especially with the bossy one safely chained up. Tsunami's the only one who could stop me.
Shudders of horror were running through Clay so violently that he was afraid one of the big dragons would notice the waves on the water. He began paddling softly backward, but froze when he heard his name.
Not Clay? Dune asked. He might try, at least.
He'll definitely try, Webb said. Dumb as a rock, but he's devoted to the other four.
It's not natural, that much loyalty in a dragon, Dune said. Especially to dragons outside your own tribe.
I can handle him, Kestrel said.
Even if he finally gets mad like we want him to, there's nothing he can do to stop me. Clay had heard enough. He sank down below the surface and swam toward the gap in the wall.
What do we do? What can we do? What can I do? There's no time. How do I save her?
Chapter 6. It's not true, Sunny said. They wouldn't.
They definitely would, said Tsunami. They'll do anything if they think it's right for the prophecy. The dragonettes all looked at Glory, whose scales had gone pale green. Even her usual aloof expression was gone. She paced around Tsunami's rock column, lashing her tail.
But we won't let them, Clay blurted.
He was still panting and dripping icy water on the stone floor.
Right, Tsunami? We'll stop them.
You don't have to get involved, said Glory. This is my problem, not yours.
How will you stop them? Tsunami asked Clay, ignoring her. Even all of you together are no match for Kestrel, especially with Dune helping her, and I can't do anything.
She bared her teeth and snapped at her chains, pulling the one around her neck dangerously tight.
So we escape, Clay said, just like you wanted. We get you out of there and we escape tonight, right now.
Escape?
Sunny squeaked.
Seriously, Glory said.
Apple-red stripes flickered across her ruff like lightning.
You don't have to do anything. I'm the one that doesn't fit in. I'll fight her or figure something out.
Of course we have to do something,
Clay said fiercely. If escape were that easy, we'd have done it already, Starflight pointed out. He stepped around Glory, stood up on his back legs, and tapped on the boulder that blocked the entrance. This is the only way out, and they have it rigged on a mechanism that only the big dragons can move.
They do?
Clay said. Starflight nodded. You know how Dune never leaves because he can't fly? He has a stone that fits in this slot. He tapped a grooved niche in the stone wall. He turns it in here to unlock something, so they can roll the boulder from inside the cave. But when Kestrel or Webbs come from outside, there must be a lever or switch they use to open it from out there.
Oh!
Clay felt like an idiot for trying so hard to roll the big rock all these years. He'd never even noticed that Dune unlocked something before moving the boulder.
He'd never thought twice about the oddly shaped stone that was always around the sand dragon's neck.
So, can we steal Dune's rock?
Sunny suggested. Terrible idea, Glory said immediately.
They'd catch us for sure, Starflight said to Sunny more kindly. Especially tonight, when they're already on high alert because of Morosir.
Well, then what about the sky? Sunny asked.
Is there any way to move the boulder without the rock? Tsunami interrupted her. Starflight shook his head.
Only from the outside. It's impossible from in here. Believe me, I've thought about it.
Maybe the sky, Sunny said.
And we couldn't force it? Clay asked Starflight. Even if we all leaned on it really hard? Starflight shook his head as Glory said,
This is all really sweet, guys, but you shouldn't get in trouble for me. Morosir likes the rest of you. Just let me handle myself.
Stop that! Tsunami snapped at her. Acting like a martyr won't help right now.
Glory bristled.
I'm not acting like a martyr. I'm trying to make sure nobody gets killed for no reason.
Besides you, Tsunami argued. It's fine if it's you getting killed for no reason.
It just doesn't matter, Glory said. I'm not even in the prophecy, so who cares what happens to me?
I swear I'm going to kill you myself, Tsunami growled.
Glory, she's trying to say that we care, Clay interjected, in her usual gentle way.
Guys, what about the sky hole?
Sunny said in a rush, jumping into the brief pause in the conversation.
In the study room, couldn't we fly up to it and squeeze out?
Oh, Sunny, don't be ridiculous, Tsunami said.
It's way too small, Starflight explained. We'd never fit, especially Clay.
But maybe I might, Sunny said. I could climb out and then go around and open the boulder from the outside, like Starflight said, right? And I could let you all out.
Clay brushed her wing and twined his tail around hers. Sunny hadn't even thought of escaping before today, and yet she was volunteering for the most dangerous part of it without any hesitation.
It won't work, Starflight said. I'm sorry, Sunny. I've flown up to the hole when no one was around.
Me too, said Tsunami.
Me too, said Glory. Clay felt slow. He'd sat below the sky hole often enough, watching the stars or clouds or rain overhead, but he'd never flown up to it or tried to climb out. Apparently, the other dragonettes had thought about escape a lot more than he had.
The hole is smaller than you think, Starflight said to Sunny. I can barely fit my head through it. It's not a way out.
The Minders wouldn't have left it there if it was, Glory said.
She stopped next to Tsunami, waves of dark green pulsing from her ears to her tail.
They're too careful. There's no way to escape.
There must be, Clay said desperately. He could feel time slipping away. Kestrel might come down to kill Glory at any moment. She wouldn't care if they all saw her do it. He could tell that Tsunami was thinking hard. She kept looking at him like she wanted to say something, then stopped herself.
What if we tried talking to them? Sunny offered hesitantly. Maybe we could convince them to let her go instead.
Glory snorted. Nobody else answered. Sunny sighed, pressing her wings back against her sides.
You have an idea, Clay said to Tsunami. I can tell. You've been working on an escape plan forever.
She wound her talons through the chains, hissing.
It's too dangerous, she said. It was supposed to be me.
He caught her sideways glance and followed her eyes to the river. The river. They'd only ever gone upstream, into the Guardian's cave. Downstream, the river flowed from the main cavern along the tunnel into the battle cave, and then Clay had no idea where it went. The roof of the battle cave sank lower and lower until the river disappeared. Clay had never explored underwater in the battle cave. He'd never wondered about where the river went. But of course, Tsunami had.
Do you know where the river goes?
He asked.
No. I mean,
I've seen the gap in the wall, but it's even smaller than the one to the Guardian's cave, she said. I've never been through in case I couldn't get back, but the river has to go somewhere.
Can we get out that way? He asked.
Not all of us, she said. Only me.
And me, he said.
She shook her head. Clay, you can't. We have no idea what's on the other side. You can only hold your breath for an hour. You could get trapped with no air and drown. And you can't see in the dark like me. You'd be swimming blind into who knows what. It has to be a sea wing who goes. It has to be me.
And even if you did get out, Starflight said, how would you find us again? How would you get back to this cave from the outside?
The sky hole, Clay said, pouncing on an idea of his own at last. You guys start a fire in the study room, and I'll follow the smoke back to you. Then I'll know the entrance is nearby, and once I find it, I can let you all out.
Gloria's eyes glinted. I can think of a few scrolls I'd like to burn.
Clay grinned at the shocked expression on Starflight's face.
Yeah, me too, he said. Throw the slug-like qualities of mudwings on there and think of me.
Stop joking about this, Tsunami cried. Clay, you can't go, and that's final. You'll almost certainly die.
But Glory will die if I don't, he said. Right? There's no other way.
Tsunami growled and thrashed her whole body, straining against the chains. The heavy links pressed into the scales of her neck, and she stopped with a cough.
Wait, you won't be able to see the smoke until daylight, Sunny said worriedly. Won't Kestrel come for Glory before then?
Clay's hopes dropped like a boulder in his stomach. He hadn't thought of that. He might not make it back in time. It might all be for nothing. Then Glory smiled, and her scales shifted into a warm, rosy pink.
I know what to do, she said. Starflight's method.
Act like a lump and hope no one notices you? Tsunami said sarcastically.
Hey,
Starflight protested.
Exactly, Glory said.
She crouched down to the floor, slowly, as if the stone were eating her alive. Grays and browns and blacks crept over her scales. All her beautiful colors faded away. The shadows and crags behind her appeared perfectly reproduced, as if the dragonettes were seeing right through her. She closed her eyes and vanished.
Wow, Sunny said faintly. I mean, I knew you could, but I'd never.
The Guardians don't know I can do this. They all jumped as Glory's voice came from the top of a stalagmite. I guess it's a good thing we never studied rain wings after all. I'll find a corner and hide. You don't even have to risk the river, Clay. I could just stay like this.
For how long? Starflight said. Until you starve? Or one of them catches you accidentally?
Tsunami was right earlier, Clay said. We do need to get out of here as soon as we can.
Sunny gave Tsunami an unhappy look.
Why didn't anybody tell me?
She asked, but no one answered her.
All right, said Glory with a sigh.
Her green eyes appeared again, halfway across the cave. She was looking straight at Clay.
Do what you want, as long as you're not doing it only for me. I'll stay out of the way until Clay comes back to get us.
Clay felt like the rosy pink color was rising up through his scales now. Glory trusted him. She believed he could do this. He could save her. He could save all of them. He just had to survive the river first.
Chapter 7.
I hate this, Tsunami called softly. I hate this a lot.
She beat her wings against the chains that trapped her.
I don't love it either, said Glory's voice.
Shh,
Starflight scolded from the riverbank. Clay stood in the shallows, shivering as the icy water washed over his talons. He wished he could take fire with him underwater. He wished he knew what he was getting into. He really, really wished he didn't have to go alone. But he had to do this. He glanced at the corner of the cave where Gloria disappeared.
"Are we sure this is the only way?" Sunny asked, splashing the river with her tail. "I bet I could think of some more ideas with a little more time."
"We don't have any more time," Clay said. "Follow the current," Starflight said to Clay. "Don't leave the river. If it goes out into the world anywhere, the current should take you there." If, Clay thought. "Stop and rest anytime you find a place to breathe," Starflight went on. "If you can't find a place where the river surfaces, don't panic, or you'll run out of air faster." Clay felt like he was panicking already when he thought about swimming into inky blackness with no idea if he'd ever breathe again. His whole body tightened with fear. He felt the brush of wingtips next to his and turned. The river eddied around the blurry outline of Glory beside him.
"Go hide," he whispered. "Thank you, Clay," she said quietly. "I'll never admit I said this, but I want you to know I would never have made it through the last 6 years without the four of you."
"Same here," Clay said. Growing up under the mountain without Glory, Sunny, Tsunami, and Starflight would have been too miserable to bear.
"Me too," Starflight said.
Sunny nodded. She twined her tail in Glory's and touched one of Clay's talons.
"Good luck," said Glory.
She stepped out of the river and melted back into the shadows. "Be really, really careful, Clay," Tsunami said. Her chains were taut around her legs and neck as she leaned toward them. "Come back if you have to. Don't keep going if it's too dangerous."
"Don't you dare die,"
Sunny added, flinging her forearms around his neck and beating his wings with hers.
"You all stay safe too," Clay said.
He took a deep breath, then another.
"I'll be rolling away that boulder before you know it."
He couldn't delay any longer. He nodded to his friends and dove into the river. Swimming helped warm him a little, but his scales still felt crusted with ice by the time he'd made it down the tunnel to the battle cave. He swam to the far wall, where the rock sloped down into the water. He floated for a moment, feeling the current tugging him. Then he inhaled and dove down. By the flickering light of the torches above, he could see the patch of wall that was darker than the rest. Tsunami was right. This hole was smaller than the gap to the Guardian's cave. Well, it was flatter, but wider, too. More like a snarling dragon mouth, complete with sharp outcroppings like teeth. He couldn't see anything but darkness on the other side. Clay reached one forearm into the hole and felt nothing but emptiness. Dark water rushed past him. He arrowed to the surface and took the longest, deepest breath of his life, hoping it wouldn't be his last. The water closed over his head in an awful, final kind of way. He tried not to think about that. With a few swift kicks, he swam back to the hole and grabbed the rocks on either side to brace himself. He folded his wings tightly to his body and snaked his head through the hole. His shoulders followed, then his wings, scraping painfully against the stone teeth. His front talons found a lip of rock ahead of him, and he seized it, pulling himself forward. He felt his shoulders slip into open space just as his haunches got stuck. His back claw scrabbled for a grip. He tried to flatten himself to the rock, squishing himself sideways. He wriggled as hard as he could, remembering Starflight's instructions. "Don't panic, don't panic, don't..." He popped loose so suddenly that he spun forward, head over tail, and had to flail around with his wings to straighten himself out. As he did, he felt stone brushing his wingtips on either side. Cautiously, he reached out into the darkness. Rock pressed closely around him. The river was narrow here, and the current was strong. It carried him forward even when he wasn't trying to swim. Everything was pitch dark. He tried paddling up to find the surface of the river, but his head barked painfully against a rock ceiling. There was no air here, only a tight channel filled by the river. He wasn't even sure there was space to turn around if he wanted to go back. But I don't want to go back. I can't go back. Clay forced himself to swim, kicking his back legs and waving his wings as much as he could in the cramped space. Water gurgled in his ears, as if it were laughing at his efforts. His heartbeat seemed louder than he'd ever noticed before. He didn't know how long he swam through the dark, twisting channel, but after a while, his chest began to hurt. He had never actually tried holding his breath for an entire hour before. The dragonets only knew he could because that's what it said about mud wings and a couple of scrolls. What if it took practice? What if only full-grown mud wings could do it? What if his lungs were still too small? What if he drowned down here, alone, and his friends never knew what happened to him, and Kestrel killed Glory, and he really was the most useless dragonette in Pyria? I will not panic. Clay climbed toward the surface for the 100th time, setting his jaw stubbornly. Still, only solid rock above him. But it seemed like the rock was slanting upward. Was it? He reached his wings up to brush against the stone and swam faster. The channel was definitely getting wider. He couldn't feel the walls on either side of him anymore. Suddenly, the rock above him disappeared as well. The strength of the current dropped away. It felt as if he'd swum out into a wide-open pool. Clay beat his wings, rising up and up through the dark water, his tail lashing to drive him forward. He was deeper than he'd realized, far below the surface. But were those stars above him? He nearly sucked in a mouthful of water in excitement. Could he have made it outside already? Something was shining overhead. He could see small spots of light, like the night sky through the hole. His head burst out of the water. Clay yelped with glee as he breathed in and out, grateful for air like he never had been before. But his voice echoed back to him, bouncing off cave walls. This air didn't smell like the sky, and he couldn't hear anything beyond the stillness of rock and the fading echoes of his own cry. He floated on the surface of the pool. The current was still moving sluggishly somewhere below his talons. All was darkness around him, except for those points of light overhead. Glowworms. He was still under the mountain, in a cave full of thousands of glowworms. The eerie little insects pulsed with a greenish light. Glowing tendrils hung from several of them, like a shimmering star curtain far above him and around him in the pool's reflection. By their dim light, he could faintly see the distant arch of cave walls. He wasn't outside, but at least he was breathing. He followed Starflight's advice, resting for as long as he dared. It was so cold in the water that he couldn't feel the tip of his tail or the outer ridge of his wings. He tried breathing a spurt of fire up into the air, but his chest was too frozen to produce more than a flicker of flame. It was almost more than he could bear to make himself duck under the water again. But finally, he took another deep breath and dove. For a terrible moment, he was afraid he'd lost the current. He had no idea where he'd come in. He had no idea if the river even left this cave. What if this wide, silent pool was the end? Could he make it back to his friends, fighting that strong current the whole way? Then he realized that when he floated, there was something carrying him along. It was weaker, but the current was still there. He spread his wings wide and stretched his tail down, letting himself drift like a leaf until he was sure which direction it went. On the far side of the cave, in the dim light of the glowworms, he found a passageway where the river left the pool. The ceiling was still far above him. He could swim and breathe for a while longer. Clay beat his wings to push himself forward through the water. It was peaceful and creepy at the same time, with all those star worms glowing overhead like a million burning eyes. But it was much preferable to solid rock, complete darkness, and no air. After a while, the current started to pick up again. Clay's wings brushed against rocks jutting out of the river, and the glowworms were fewer and farther between. The darkness seemed to press down like Kestrel crushing him during battle training. And then he heard the roaring. Clay's ears pricked up. Was it dragons? His first thought was that he was hearing Kestrel roaring in fury as she discovered she had lost Glory and Clay. But he was too far away to hear anything like that. Then he started to worry. What would Kestrel do when she found Clay and Glory missing? Would she punish the others, especially Tsunami, all chained up and unable to fight back? He was so distracted worrying about his friends that it took him a while to notice that the roaring was getting louder. Suddenly, he bashed into a boulder sticking out of the river. Reeling with pain, Clay spun in the water, flailing for a hold on something. He crashed into another rock, bounced off, and slammed into yet another. The river was going so fast now that he couldn't stop himself. He was being dragged toward the roaring at top speed. With a jarring shock, he hit a spur of stone and dug in with all his talons. The rushing water whipped past him, seizing his tail and his wings with icy, desperate fingers. Clay fought his way out of the river until finally he stood, gasping, on bare rock. He swept his tail around, trying to feel how big a rock he was standing on. It was big. It stretched farther than he could reach. He edged forward until he was sure he was standing on the bank of the river. A slope beside him rose away from the water. He could feel a small trickle of a stream bubbling down the slope, joining the river near his talons. Clay dropped his head, trying to think. Now that he was out of the water, the cold was penetratingly deep. It coiled and twisted around his bones. He coughed, hoping to summon a flame, but it was no use. Some dragons carried fire within them always. A Skywing or a Nightwing could blast flames any time. Sea wings and ice wings could never breathe fire, but others, like mud wings, needed the right conditions, warmth most of all. Remembering all his fire-breathing failures, Clay could hear Kestrel's scornful voice hissing about what a disappointment he was. "Not this time," he thought. "I will figure this out." He could guess what the roaring was, although he had never seen a waterfall, and he certainly didn't want to experience one for the first time in total darkness. Even if he could fly over it, without his sight, he'd be sure to run into something and crash. But he couldn't leave the river. Could he? Clay set one claw in the trickling stream and was surprised to find it was a little warmer than the river. Where did it come from? Up? Surely up meant closer to the surface and the outside world. He inhaled, hoping to catch the scent of the outside, but the only faint smell was of rotten eggs. He set his jaw. The stream had to lead somewhere, somewhere not over a waterfall. Clay spread his wings to feel the cave walls and crept up the stream, slipping now and then on the slick stone. Soon he felt a ledge ahead of him. He climbed over it and splashed into a deeper pool. The rotten egg smell was much stronger up here. He tried to wade forward, and the water crept up his legs. Suddenly, he felt a stinging pain slice through the softer scales of his underbelly. With a hiss, he scrambled back up on the ledge. His wings caught on something sticky overhead, and he felt the same sharp pain shivering through his tendons. He pulled his wings in close to his body quickly, but the stickiness came with it and suckered onto his scales like enormous, globby leeches. It felt like the poison in Dune's tail stabbing him in a thousand places, dissolving his skin from the inside out. Clay let out an agonized yell and tried to stumble back down the slope to the river, but he'd lost the feel of the stream under his claws. He was stumbling blind over bare rocks. Frantic to escape the pain, he lunged toward the sound of the waterfall. His head collided with something hard that knocked him to the cave floor. As he lost consciousness, his last thought was, "I failed them." Chapter 8. Freezing water splashed over Clay's head. He woke up with a gasp as the rest of his body was plunged into the river. Strong talons gripped his shoulders, shoving him under the water. He thrashed, terrified, and the current nearly dragged him away. The other dragon yanked his head into the air and shouted, "Quit struggling! I'm saving you!" Clay went limp and let himself be shoved under again. He felt the sticky poison washing from his scales, although the pain lingered. As his panic died down, memory clicked on. He lunged back to the surface.
"Tsunami!"
he yelped. He tried to wrap his wings around her, flapping and splashing in the dark. Her claws dug into the spines along his back.
"Seriously, Clay, stop moving!"
She whacked his tail back into the water with her own.
"I don't know what this white stuff is, but it smells awful, and I think it's trying to dissolve your scales. You stay in the water until it's all gone."
She moved his claws to the rock and helped him hang on against the fierce current while she poured more water over his head. He strained his eyes, trying to see her, or even a black shadow that might be her, but it was too dark. He clung to the feeling of her cold, wet scales against his. She was really here.
"How did you get free?"
he asked through chattering teeth. They had to shout to be heard over the roaring waterfall.
"Fire," Tsunami said. "I realized if Kestrel's flames could merge the chains together, maybe more fire would break them apart. She knew I couldn't do it, and as usual she figured we wouldn't help each other, because that's not dragon nature or whatever. It took Sunny and Starflight together to get their fire hot enough, but they blasted one of the links until it melted, and then I followed you as fast as I could."
Clay rested his head on the rock by her talons. It felt like the cracks between his scales were singing high-pitched arias of pain.
"Well," he said, "as you can see, it's going great so far. I was just about to save the day."
"You would have," Tsunami said. "I'm sure you would have woken up soon and made it to the river on your own."
She batted one of his wings lightly with hers. Clay wasn't sure of that at all, but he wasn't about to add whining to the list of things wrong with him.
"Did you see the glowworms?" he asked instead. "Kind of cool, right?"
"Oh, I can beat that."
A moment passed, and then Tsunami's stripes began to glow along her wings and tail. She even turned on the whorls of light along her snout. Dimly, the cave took shape around them. Clay had never been so happy to see anything in his life.
"Thanks," he said. "It seems kind of unfair. You guys can see in the dark. It's the rest of us who actually need glowing scales."
Tsunami ducked her head in an odd, embarrassed way.
"Well, they're not meant to help us see," she said.
Clay stretched his legs and tail under the water. The goop on his scales was gone, but the stinging was still there, battling the freezing numbness caused by the river.
"Really?"
he said, trying to take his mind off the pain.
"Then why do you glow?"
"It's, well..."
He'd never seen Tsunami stammer over anything. Now he was really curious.
"Tell,"
he said, splashing her.
"You know, you're doing that thing you do," she said, "where you talk about something ridiculous so you don't have to deal with something serious."
"Am not," Clay protested.
"You're the one who's ducking the question."
"All right, fine," she said with a grimace. "Glowing in the dark. Webb says it's to attract other sea wings. That's how we choose our partners, or whatever."
She shoved his head under the water again, and he came up sputtering.
"Now, aren't you sorry you asked?"
He was, a little bit. The idea of Tsunami leaving them for another sea wing with cool glowing scales made Clay feel extra blobby and drab.
"So, we can't go up the rocks," he said. "What do we do about the waterfall?"
He hoped she wouldn't ask whether his scales still hurt. He just had to tough it out until the pain went away. She grinned.
"We dive right over it," she said. "How high could it be?"
"And how many sharp rocks could there be at the bottom?"
he countered.
"I'd like to see what we're jumping off first, please."
All right, let's go check it out, she said, releasing him and leaping into the water. The current whooshed her away, and he had to let go of his rock to follow her quickly before the light of her scales disappeared. Tsunami! He called. There was no way she could hear him over the roaring waterfall. An underwater boulder slammed into his belly, and he inhaled a mouthful of river. Choking and coughing, he paddled after the blurry glow in the distance. Suddenly, the glow vanished, and he was plunged into darkness again. Tsunami! He roared. A heartbeat later, Clay felt the air suddenly yawn wide in front of him. Some instinct kicked in, and he lashed out with his talons and tail. One of his claws caught a jagged spur of rock, and he flung his front talons around it just as the rest of him flew out into space. He was dangling over the waterfall. He dug his claws into the rock and hung on for dear life, scrunching his eyes shut, even though the darkness was dark enough. His poison-riddled skin screamed with agony as it stretched below his scales. He couldn't bear to think of how far Tsunami might have fallen. He could picture her broken body somewhere far below him. Something whacked his foot. Watch out, Clay, Tsunami's voice teased. It's really dangerous. You might stub a claw. Clay opened his eyes. The waterfall crashed along beside him, cascading into a foamy pile of bubbles only a short distance below his dangling back claws. Tsunami was splashing and somersaulting in the pool, flipping waves at him with her tail. Hang on tight, she cried. Whatever you do, don't let go. Ha, 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 he said. He stirred the water below him with his tail, checking for rocks, then let himself drop. The waterfall gently battered his head as he resurfaced. You knew how short it was, he said accusingly. Maybe, she said with a grin. All right, yes. I just got into the edge when I heard you yell and went back for you. Lucky I'm not the type to suffer and die in silence, Clay said. But he couldn't help thinking, what would have happened if I hadn't cried out? What if we had missed each other? Come on, the river keeps going this way, Tsunami said. Her webbed feet swooped through the water, shooting her out in front of him. He followed her through the pool into another narrow channel, with rocky banks on either side. But, he cocked his head, his ears twitched. I think, that can't be all the roaring then. Is there more up ahead? There were weird echoes in these caves. He couldn't tell if he was hearing the roar of the small waterfall magnified, or if there was something else. Tsunami suddenly spread her wings and spun to a halt, gazing up at the ceiling. Did you see that? Clay squinted into the darkness. Her luminescent scales didn't cast light very far. He couldn't even see the stalactites that were probably up there. No. It was a bat! Tsunami excitedly slammed the river with her tail, submerging Clay in a tidal wave of water. He came up, gasping for air. A bat? Why are we drowning me over a bat? Once a bat had blundered in through the skyhole. It had flapped pathetically around the study cave until Sunny begged Dune to catch it and set it free. Clay was half convinced that Dune had eaten it instead, but at least he'd done it where Sunny couldn't see him. Because it must have come from somewhere, she said. Bats go outside to hunt. So if bats can get in and out, I bet we can too. We must be close. Bats are a lot smaller than we are, Clay pointed out. But Tsunami had already started swimming. He flexed his wings under the water, worried. The pain wasn't going away. It felt like tiny, sharp teeth biting him all over under his scales. Look! Tsunami yelled from up ahead. I see light! Clay beat his wings quickly, trying to catch up. It helped that the current was getting faster again. But then, was the roaring getting louder too? He came around a bend in the river and saw a circle of silvery light in the distance. The dark outline of Tsunami's head was barreling toward it. Clay couldn't believe his eyes. It was moonlight. Just like he'd seen through the skyhole. There really was a way out, and they'd found it. He was speeding along now, barely using his legs to paddle as the river whisked him toward the light. Suddenly, a piercing shriek echoed through the cave, and Tsunami disappeared. "Please be another joke. Please be another joke," Clay prayed, swimming as fast as he could. The moonlit entrance yawned wide in front of him, and then, abruptly, he shot out into open space. The river plunged out of the cave and straight down a tall, sheer cliff. Clay's wings flew open and he banked, catching the air before he fell. He was flying! Chapter 9. Clay had flown before. Short hops around the caves, dodging the stalactites and flapping in circles. But that was nothing. Nothing compared to this. Everything was so big. The sky was everywhere. It just went on and on and on like nothing could ever fill it up. It was night, but the light of the three moons was dazzling after a lifetime of caves and sputtering torches. Craggy mountain peaks bit into the sky all around him. In the distance, he thought he saw a glimmer of sea. And the stars. Clay had thought he knew stars from gazing out of the sky hole. He'd never known how many there were, or how they looked like a silver net cast across the dark. He felt like he could keep flying up and up forever, all the way to the moons. He wondered if any dragon had ever tried to do that. This is what we've been missing all this time. Even the sharp lines of pain between his scales couldn't take away his excitement. "Can you believe this?" he called, spinning in the air. "Tsunami, isn't it amazing?" There was no answer. Clay lashed his tail to stop spinning and hovered, his eyes darting around the sky. He couldn't see Tsunami anywhere. She wouldn't have flown off without him, would she? Maybe she'd seen the faraway sea. Maybe she saw her home and couldn't resist. Clay knew she wouldn't abandon her friends, but he also knew how desperately she wanted to return to the ocean. He glanced down toward the horizon and spotted her, far below him, flapping in a frantic downward spiral. Something was wrong. It looked like only one of her wings was working. Clay twisted into a dive and barreled toward her. He tucked his wings close to his body, fighting back the terror as he plummeted. Wind whistled past his face. Wind! He'd imagined it all wrong. It was like a live thing, grabbing his tail to throw him off balance, whisking in his eyes to blind him, flaring under his wings to slow him down. It seemed to dig icicle-sharp claws into his skin, slicing under his scales. The waterfall and the cliff shot past at lightning speed. Was he falling too fast? The ground hurtled toward him, shadows and moonlight mixed in shapes he'd never seen and couldn't understand. He had no idea how far away it was or how soon he would reach it. He'd never dealt with distances like this before. Would he be able to stop? Would it hurt when he did? But he could see Tsunami below him, still struggling, so he knew that she hadn't hit the bottom yet, and that made him braver. He fell, and fell, and fell, and she got closer and closer until... Clay passed her and instantly flared his wings open. His body slammed upright like he'd run into a wall. And then a moment later, he was whammed again, this time by a heavy sea wing landing on him from above. He tumbled, nearly losing Tsunami over his head, but they caught onto each other with their talons and held tight. With her claws wrapped fiercely around his neck, Clay battled to stay aloft, beating his wings in wide arcs. He wasn't strong enough to lift her, but at least he could slow her fall. Tsunami let out a yelp, and then Clay felt something like claws snag his wings and tail. They lost their hold on each other as they fell through the trees, smashing branches and ripping off leaves before they thudded to earth. It took Clay a moment before he could breathe again. Tsunami's tail was flopped across his snout. He pushed it aside and sat up, creaking with pain. Tsunami rolled over onto her back, letting her wings flop out to either side. Close up, Clay could see that he was right. One of her azure-blue wings was crooked, as if it had been wrenched out of her shoulder. He touched it with one claw, and they both winced. "What happened?" Clay asked. "Getting out of the chains," Tsunami said. "I think I dislocated it." "And you came after me anyway?" Clay said, appalled. "Why didn't you tell me you were hurt?" She shrugged and winced again. "It didn't hurt so much in the river, but once I tried to fly..."
"Dirt!"
Clay yelled suddenly.
"I'm standing on dirt!"
He stabbed his claws into the ground and they sank right into the earth. A thrill ran through him from snout to tail. Tsunami sat up to look at him. "Yay?" she said.
"It's amazing!" he cried. "Feel how soft it is!"
He seized a handful of dirt and flung it at her.
"Hey, quit that!" she protested, defending herself with her good wing.
Clay flattened himself to the grass, feeling the warm earth crumble around his legs and clump against his scales. Scents of green and brown and buried sunshine overwhelmed him. It was nothing like the hard, cold, bare rock under the mountain. The ground here was welcoming and full of life. A worm burrowed past his nose, and he snapped it up. "Well, now we're even," Tsunami said. "I saved you, you saved..."
"I hear the river!"
Clay cried, jumping up and shaking himself. Tsunami ducked the shower of dirt that flew off him.
"River plus dirt means mud!"
He spun around and raced through the trees toward the sound of bubbling water. Tsunami found him rolling blissfully in the muddy banks of the river.
"I don't think most dragons get this excited about being so dirty," she said wryly.
"I bet my kind do,"
Clay said, ignoring her sarcasm.
"I've never been this warm in my whole life."
For the first time ever, his claws didn't ache. His scales didn't itch. His wings didn't feel too dry. And he wasn't worried about stubbing his talons every other step. He felt the mud squelch into the gaps between his scales and realized that the pain from the cave poison was fading, as if the mud was healing him. He sighed happily, squishing himself farther down into the damp riverbank.
"Wow," Tsunami said. She stuck her front talons in the river. "And we're not even at the mudwing swamps yet.
I wonder if I'll be this excited when I get to the sea."
"You will,"
Clay said, suddenly feeling certain and brave and confident.
"And when you can fly, can we fix your wing?"
He tilted his head, studying her injury. The waterfall poured down a cliff that towered over them, with even higher mountains beyond. The three moons were low in the sky. Clay guessed it would be morning soon, and then they could look for the smoke signal that would lead to their friends. But Tsunami couldn't fly. She'd be stuck down here. Easy pickings for any hostile dragons flying by. Clay glanced up at the sky, remembering that they'd popped out into a world at war. It seemed so peaceful here. From the way the big dragons talked, he'd imagine the entire world as a giant battlefield. It was strange to be in a quiet clearing, with no sights or sounds of war, or even other dragons anywhere nearby. But he knew that the Talons of Peace, and by extension the dragonettes, had enemies everywhere. The three Sandwing Queens distrusted the prophecy and would kill anyone who got in their way. And there was a whole list of dragons who might do terrible things to the dragonettes of destiny, if they ever found them. Tsunami twisted to look at her dislocated wing.
"I'm sure I can fix it," she said. "I saw this in a scroll once. It just needs to be banged back into place. Maybe if I run myself into a tree."
She glanced around at the forest, then suddenly charged at the nearest solid tree trunk. Clay leaped out of the mud and pounced on her tail, yanking her back before she crashed.
"Ow!" Tsunami stormed. "Get off! I can fix it! This will work!"
She snapped her teeth at him. Stop being a grumpy Skywing. Smashing yourself into a tree is a terrible plan, Clay said. Can I look at it? Tsunami settled down on the grass, grumbling, with her wings spread out. Clay circled her, then stood back and looked at the uneven line of her wings and shoulders. If you can stay still, he said, I think I can shove it back into place. Is that a good idea? Tsunami asked, flinching away from him. Better than running into a tree, he pointed out. Dig your claws in and brace yourself. Tsunami clutched the ground and closed her eyes. Clay felt gently along her shoulder with his front talons. It was easy to find the spot where a bone had slipped out of its socket. He touched it lightly until he was sure where it was and where it needed to be. Then he grabbed and shoved the bone into place in one quick, strong movement.
Ow!
Tsunami roared, rearing back. Her powerful tail whipped around and slammed Clay into a thicket of prickly bushes.
I'm sorry! I'm sorry!
Clay yelped, floundering free.
I really thought that would work.
He stopped. Tsunami was turning in a circle, flexing and extending both wings. They looked perfectly matched again.
It did work, she said. It's a little sore, but I can move it now.
Pretty fierce, Clay. She helped disentangle his tail from the branches.
Sorry I whacked you.
Clay opened his mouth to respond, but Tsunami suddenly seized his snout and held it shut. She raised one talon, her ears twitching.
What's that?
She whispered. Clay tried to swivel his head around, but Tsunami's grip was too tight. He strained his ears to listen. Something was crashing through the forest toward them. Chapter 10.
Not big enough to be a dragon, Tsunami whispered. I think.
Now Clay could hear a huffing, panting sound and the cracking of branches. It sounded more prey than predator. He pried Tsunami's claws off his snout and whispered,
Maybe we can eat it.
They couldn't rescue the other dragonettes until sunrise anyway, and he wanted to test his hunting skills outside the caves. A short, pale creature stumbled into the moonlit clearing in front of them. The top of its furry head was barely as high as Clay's shoulder. It had two long, thin legs and two dangling arms that ended in floppy, clawless talons. One arm held something pointy, like a giant dragon's claw, and the other was wrapped around a bulky sack. It spotted Tsunami and Clay, dropped everything it was holding, and shrieked a long, high-pitched note, like the birds Clay had sometimes heard through the skyhole.
It's a scavenger! Tsunami cried with delight. Look, Clay, our first time outside, and we're already seeing a real-life scavenger!
It's so little, Clay said. And look, it's scavenging something right now!
He reached out to poke the bulky sack. The creature screamed again, backing away and covering its head with its arms.
I thought they'd be scarier, Tsunami said, disappointed. She lowered her snout to peer at it.
One of these killed Queen Oasis? Really? She picked up the metal claw it had been carrying, which was about four times as long as a regular dragon claw.
I guess these are pretty sharp, but still. It must have been some kind of unlucky accident.
Can we eat it?
Clay asked, his tongue flicked out and in. Starflight says they're endangered, Tsunami said. But I say it's their fault we're all in this war, so eat as many as you like. She swung the claw in a circle and glared down at the scavenger. The scavenger was gibbering strange noises at them, waving its arms at the sack and the claw. Some of its movements were almost dragon-like, as if it was trying to communicate with them.
Maybe it wants us to have whatever's in here,
Clay said, lifting the sack. He upended it, and a pile of jewels and trinkets tumbled out, bouncing and sparkling across the grass. Clay saw three large rubies and a scattering of white diamonds among the gold shapes.
Treasure!
Tsunami cried. She picked up a silver medallion with a spiral carved into it, studded with tiny sapphires.
Glory would love that, Clay said.
So would I, Tsunami said. I know you like bringing her pretty things to cheer her up, but I saw this first.
All right, Clay said diplomatically. Maybe something else then. Can we keep all this treasure?
Certainly not, said a new voice. Not unless you want to fight me for it, which I don't advise.
An orange skywing dragon, slightly bigger than Clay, landed soundlessly in the clearing behind the scavenger. Wreaths of smoke coiled around her horns. As the scavenger shrieked again, she bent down and bit off its head.
Blech,
she said, spitting it out again immediately. The head bounced across the grass as the body slowly toppled over, blood pouring out of its neck.
Now that's just unfair, said the orange dragon. First of all, thieves are always trying to steal my beautiful treasure. And then, they aren't even delicious when I catch them. She poked the body. All stringy and tasting like fish. Yuck.
Clay took a step back from the spreading pool of blood. He didn't feel hungry anymore.
Who are you?
Tsunami asked. She was turning the medallion over between her claws, as if she wondered whether it might be worth fighting for. The orange dragon stared at her, her yellow eyes narrowing to slits. Clay noticed that a fine coat of golden chainmail, hung with rubies and amber drops, was fitted around the dragon's torso. A row of tiny rubies was embedded between the scales over each of her eyes, and more rubies edged the top of her wings. Whoever she was, she had a lot of treasure, which meant she must be important.
You don't know who I am,
the strange dragon said.
How upsetting. I'm really very hurt. Either I need to get out more, or you're not a very good spy.
Are you, Seawing?
I'm not a spy, Tsunami said. We don't even know where we are. We've been held prisoner, kind of, and we just escaped.
The orange dragon tilted her head at Clay.
A sea wing and a mud wing together, she said. Let's see. I know you're not from my dungeons unless I'm getting horribly forgetful. So who was holding you?
Blaze? I don't think she has prison camps. Wouldn't fit with her everybody love me act.
Clay took another step back. He didn't like the sound of a dragon who had her own dungeons.
Tsunami? He said quietly. Just give her back her treasure and let's go.
A mudwing using his head, said the orange dragon.
You don't see that very often.
She slid menacingly towards Tsunami, stepping right through the scavenger's blood and leaving red claw prints on the grass. Small flames flickered in her nostrils, and a steady stream of white smoke poured out and gathered more thickly around her horns.
All right, Tsunami said, holding out the medallion. We don't want any trouble. Oh, neither do I, said the orange dragon. That's why it makes me so sad, when trouble keeps coming to me.
She reached out and grabbed Tsunami's talon with the medallion still in it, squeezing hard. Clay started forward, but the strange dragon shot a bolt of flame at him, so he had to duck back. She glared at Tsunami.
Nobody touches my treasure.
We didn't know, Tsunami protested. We don't even know who you are.
Oh, the dragon hissed. Didn't I say? My name is Scarlet, but I highly recommend you call me Your Majesty if you want to live.
Clay inhaled sharply. Even he recognized that name. They were standing face to face with the Queen of the Skywings. Chapter 11. She was smaller than he had expected, smaller than Kestrel. But Clay knew they shouldn't underestimate the Sky Wing Queen. She'd held on to her power for 30 years, despite 14 brave, foolish, extremely dead now challengers. She was one of the longest-lived and deadliest queens in Pyria. Not to mention one of the worst possible dragons to get her claws on the Dragonettes of Destiny, especially since she was allied with Byrne, who hated the prophecy and had destroyed the Skywing Egg 6 years ago. Clay tried to remember anything else they learned about Scarlet. All he could think was, scary. Queen Scarlet let go of Tsunami's talons and slipped the medallion over her own neck. She turned and ran one claw down Clay's snout.
Now you, Mudwing, make me curious. We're on the same side. So why didn't you recognize me?
Like I said, Tsunami started. Queen Scarlet silenced her with a flick of her tail.
I like to hear the Mudwing speak, she said, all rumbly and deep and nervous.
Clay stammered. We've been underground a while. Kind of always. Tsunami made a face at him behind the queen's back, which he guessed meant he shouldn't give too much away. But what was he supposed to say?
He glanced up at the mountains looming overhead and realized that they were outlined with a golden glow. The sun was coming up. They needed to go rescue their friends, and fast, before Kestrel took out her anger on the dragonettes she could find.
We're just passing through, he said to Queen Scarlet.
The rows of rubies over the queen's eyes arched disbelievingly.
I mean, it was an honor to meet... It was very...
Terrifying was the only word he could think of.
We have to go,
he blurted.
Already, said the queen. But that's heartbreaking. I hate being abandoned mid-conversation. There's so much more I want to know about you.
She brushed the tip of her claw along the bottom of Clay's chin.
I think the only place you should go is back to my palace in the sky.
Doesn't that sound thrilling? Don't say no. It'll hurt my feelings.
You're just what I've been looking for.
Clay had no idea what that meant, but he was too petrified to respond anyway. He stared up into her unfriendly amber eyes, thinking for the first time in his life that maybe Kestrel was right about everything, most especially about staying under the mountain and avoiding all the bad dragons out in the world. Behind Scarlet, Tsunami raised the scavenger's sharp claw. Her eyes met Clay's. He felt the same chilling fear she must be feeling. If they attack the Skywing Queen, they'd instantly have a new, powerful enemy who hated them. But they couldn't tell her the truth about themselves. She'd take them captive, or sell them to her ally Byrne, or kill them just to mess with the prophecy. And they couldn't go with her either. They had to get back to their friends. He nodded slightly.
Do it. We have no choice.
Tsunami stabbed the claw through Queen Scarlet's tail at the vulnerable spot, driving it straight into the ground beneath. The queen roared with fury and pain. She whipped her head around and blasted fire in all directions.
Fly!
Tsunami yelled. She rolled under the flames and shoved Clay's tail. He spread his wings and bolted into the sky with Queen Scarlet's fire scorching his claws. Tsunami flapped beside him, her wingbeats wobbly but determined.
It won't take her long to get free, Tsunami called. Quick, we have to lose her in the peaks.
She soared up the cliff and Clay followed. They flew past the top of the waterfall, where the river flowed out of a hole in the cliff. They flew up and up until they reached the top and whooshed out onto a rocky plateau studded with dark green trees and bushes. Even up here, the mountains loomed over them, impossibly high and unbearably big. The peaks zigzagged to the north and south like crooked dragon teeth, a jagged row that went on and on and on. The bigness of everything kept overwhelming Clay. How would they ever find their friends again in all of this? And even if they did,
What could five dragonettes do to save a world this big? Tsunami led the way, staying low and swooping around trees, diving into chasms where they found them. Her wingbeats were getting stronger as she flew. Sunlight spread across the mountains, dazzling Clay's eyes. He wasn't used to so much brightness. And this was only dawn. The ferocity of the midday sun was still ahead.
Here,
Tsunami called, jerking her head toward a dent in the side of the mountain. They spiraled down to land on the ledge outside a small cave. From here, they could look over the rocky plateau, with valleys and mountain peaks spread out around them. Clay peered down nervously. The roar of the waterfall was a faint rumble in the distance. There was no sign of Queen Scarlet.
I can't believe you did that,
he said to Tsunami.
I had to, didn't I?
She asked, but without her usual conviction. She scratched at her gills, looking worried, then slipped into the shadows of the cave to check that it was empty. Clay wanted to reassure her, but he was worried too. He closed his eyes and turned his face toward the rising sun. The heat soaked down through his scales until even his bones felt warm at last.
You should see yourself, Tsunami said from the cave. You're practically glowing. I didn't know Mudwings had so many colors in them.
Clay opened his eyes and glanced down. He'd always thought of himself as just brown. Plain brown scales, ordinary brown claws, the color of flat mud from horns to tail. But now, in the full sunlight for the first time, he could see gold and amber glints between and beneath his scales. Even the brown seemed richer and deeper, like the mahogany trunk where webs kept the most delicate scrolls.
Huh, he said. You're so pretty, Tsunami joked, emerging into the light.
Clay had to bite back a gasp. While the sun brought out his colors, it made her look bejeweled, like a dragon made of sapphires and emeralds, or summer leaves and oceans. He thought of Glory, and how beautiful she already was in the gloomy caves. None of them would be able to look at her in full sunlight, or else they'd be too dazzled to ever speak to her again. Glory. Clay squinted out at the mountainside. There were crags and holes and rocky outcroppings that might lead to tunnels everywhere. He had no idea what the outside of their home looked like. They could see a lot of the mountain from here, but no smoke signal yet. The sun had nearly cleared the horizon now, climbing slowly up the sky and chasing away the three moons. Clay saw several red shapes flitting around the distant mountain peaks. At first, he thought they were birds, until he spotted fire flickering around them like lightning and realized they were dragons. This was definitely Skywing territory. Starflight was right about where their secret cave was, but Clay had no idea how they'd escape the mountains now that the Skywing Queen was probably hunting them in a towering rage. Tsunami seized his shoulder.
Over there,
she cried, pointing. A thin column of smoke was starting to rise from a hole partway down the slope. Clay flung himself into the air and swooped over the hole. It was enclosed and partly hidden by a thicket of branches, so he couldn't land next to it. But it was open to the sky and looked like the shape of the sky hole to him. It had to be his friends. Tsunami swept up beside him. They both hovered around the smoke, trying to peer down into the hole.
Starflight and Sunny must be right there, Clay said. Right below us!
The smoke smelled of old paper. He felt a twinge of pity for Starflight, burning some of his beloved scrolls.
So we're close, but we have to find the entrance, Tsunami said. The tunnel must come out somewhere nearby.
She spiraled down to the rocky ground outside the bushes. She started pacing as if she were trying to count off the distance from the study room to the entrance tunnel. Clay stayed up in the air, circling. He had the same funny feeling he'd had looking at Tsunami's crooked wing, that if he relaxed and just looked, he could see how things should fit together. He'd walk the caves under the mountain a million times. He knew them better than his own claws. He could still hear the faint roar of the waterfall, so he could guess which way the underground river flowed. He pictured the tunnel from the study cave to the central hall and mapped it out on the craggy rocks below.
Here, he called to Tsunami, swooping down to land. The boulder blocking the exit should be right below here, so the tunnel to the outside would go that way.
He turned to look.
The ravine, Tsunami said.
A crevasse cut through the rocks a short distance away. When they peered down into it, they could see a stream running over pebbly gravel and sandy mud.
The entrance must be down there somewhere.
Clay hopped down to the bottom of the ravine, keeping his wings spread to slow his fall. Mud squelched between his talons as he landed. He felt a wave of anger wash over him. Here was mud and sunlight and warm, fresh air this close to their cave. Why hadn't the guardians ever brought the dragonettes outside? Even small trips to this ravine would have made life so different. He knew they'd say it was for safety. They'd say it was to protect the dragonettes in case the distant Skywing spotted them. But Clay guessed it was really because the guardians didn't trust him and his friends. They didn't trust them not to fly away. They didn't trust them to act smart and avoid drawing attention to themselves. He dug sharp gashes in the mud with his claws. The dragonettes never even had a chance to be trustworthy. Maybe Clay didn't deserve it, after attacking the others at hatching. Maybe the guardians thought that something inside him might snap at any moment. But there was no reason to have kept Sunny and Glory and Starflight and Tsunami in the dark all these years. Tsunami thumped down beside him and nodded at a mossy pile of boulders up ahead.
Let's check there first.
They squished and splashed down the stream. Clay spotted something in the mud in front of them. He flared his wings up to stop Tsunami from going any further.
Look, he said. Dragon tracks.
Fresh dragon prints were stamped into the riverbank, with a deep line of a tail dragged between them. They disappeared suddenly, as if the dragon had lifted off into the sky. Clay gingerly fit one of his own feet into a print. It was dwarfed by the size of the other dragon's talons.
If it came from our cave, Tsunami said, and I'm sure it did, then it must be Kestrel.
How do you know? Clay asked.
Tsunami put her own foot down next to one of the prints.
No webs between the claws, she said. So it's not a sea wing. They're too recent to be Morrow Seers from yesterday, and you can see all 4 feet here, so it's not Dune.
Oh, Clay said, feeling foolish. Of course.
There are prints leaving, but not coming back, Tsunami said, her voice rising with excitement. Maybe she went out looking for us this morning. If she's still away, this is our best chance to get the others out.
She started running down the riverbank, following the line of prints to where it began.
Come on, Clay, hurry!
Clay raced after her. The tracks led right to the tumble of boulders. When they climbed up onto the large rocks, they could see down into a dark tunnel in the side of the ravine. It was almost entirely hidden from view unless you looked from the right angle.
This is it, Tsunami whispered.
Why didn't she hide her tracks better? Clay worried.
What if it's a trap?
It's not, Tsunami said confidently. Kestrel doesn't know we're coming back for the others. She doesn't think like that. If she were one of us, she'd escape and leave everyone else behind without a second thought.
That sounded true to Clay.
Kestrel never believed that dragons could keep their word or care about other dragons.
She was in a hurry to find us, that's all, Tsunami pointed out.
Clay glanced up at the sky anxiously. If Kestrel hadn't bothered to be cautious, she must be really angry with them. Tsunami lowered herself into the tunnel, and Clay slid down beside her. He was warm enough now to make fire, so he breathed a small burst of flame to give them a glimpse of the tunnel ahead. They edged forward as Tsunami's scales began to glow. The tunnel took a sharp right, then a left, then went down at a steep angle for a few steps. But soon it straightened out, took them around another corner, and ended at an enormous gray boulder. Clay's heart thumped hard in his chest. They'd really found it. He was looking at his prison from the outside. Chapter 12. Tsunami reared up on her back legs and began running her talons along the walls. "Look for something that'll move the boulder," she said. Clay breathed another burst of fire at the wall on his